We are going to read Psalm 23 together, so join me as we read this ancient poem one more time together, Psalm chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You guys can grab a seat. So the goal of this entire series is to take this psalm, this recognized psalm, and to bring this ancient poem into the world of every day. We have said that we do not want to restrict this beautiful song to biblical times. We do not want to confine it to the world of irrelevance, because what happens is we're very far removed from sheep and shepherds. Like, those are not commonplace things for us. Like, no one here has the job of a shepherd that I know of. Probably no one owns sheep or is hanging out with sheep. The only sheep that we hang out with are the sheep in our nursery rhyme books that we read to Levi. That's the only world of sheep that we know. And so the tendency is to take this psalm and to place it in biblical times, or one place that is often read is funerals. We kind of confine it to the world of the wake. And the reason that we tend to break it out at funerals is because it is a song of beautiful comfort. But what we have learned as we have gone through this series is that it is not just comfort for the grieving. Now, that's important, that it provides comfort for people who are grieving. It's not just comfort for people who are hurting. And again, beautiful song when you're hurting, going through stuff, to be able to recite, read the promises of the Psalm 23. It's not just for times when we are scared. Like, it's a common thing that you see movies, TV, or even personally, when you're going through something and you're afraid. It's very common for people to start quoting Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." I was one of those few people that got, not few people, a lot of people that got sucked into watching the series Lost, and was all disappointed in the end with a horrible ending. But I remember in Lost, in one particular scene when the plane crashed, how one of the characters began to recite Psalm 23. And he did it for the entire psalm, and other people began to join him. But it's not just for those moments. It's not just moments of comfort, of grieving, of hurting, of being afraid. What we have said is that this psalm is written for valley living, for everyday living, for life in the office, and life on the assembly line, and life in the break room, and life at the cafeteria, and life in the bedroom, and in conversations in the car, and at the family gathering, and when we're out shopping, and when we're hanging out in the neighborhood watching fireworks. It is for life in the valley. It's for life in our context of what we do in everyday life. It's even for life at Point Mallard, right? So when you're at Point Mallard amidst all the craziness, there's still a relevance of Psalm 23. Maybe I could say when you're living life among the other sheep in the herds of life, because that's sometimes how you feel when you're in those places. And people, by the way, sheep stink. Now, we've said that sheep can just be stupid, right? And that's us too. Like, we are in the herd. And so there's times in our lives that we stink, and there's times that we make horrible decisions because we are one of the sheep. But Psalm 23 is for those moments. It's for valley living. It's for life in the everyday. And we don't want to just confine it to the end of life or the beginning of things, or we don't want just to think about it in terms of biblical life, because in this underlying focus of Psalm 23, at the heart of it is this question, like, how do we maintain a healthy soul as we live in the rhythm of valley life? Like, as we live between the mountains, and we said Psalm 22 is a prophecy of Mount Calvary. Psalm 24 is a prophecy of the end of time, Mount Zion, we often call it. And in between these two beautiful mountains of Jesus dying and eternal life is Psalm 23, life in the valley. And we do not want to dismiss it to either mountain because we live everyday life in the valley. And the question for us, the question for you, the question for me is, how do I maintain a healthy soul? How do I maintain the rhythm of a healthy soul as I live life in the grind, in the valley, in the everyday? And what we have said is, how do we as sheep, dumb, helpless, wandering sheep, how do we live in the care, provision, guidance, and protection of the shepherd? Because here's what we've learned in this psalm. Sheep only thrive in the care of a good shepherd. Sheep thrive in the care of a good shepherd. It's in the shepherd's care that we are the most protected. We are the most satisfied. We are the most nourished. We are rested in the care of the shepherd. So the question is, like, why do we struggle to allow the shepherd to lead? Why do we struggle to allow the shepherd to be in control? Why do we struggle as sheep to follow the shepherd, the one who cares for us and protects us and provides nourishment for us and satisfaction and rest in his care? Why do we struggle to follow him? And in this psalm, there is this offer on the table. There's this offer on the table that says there is a sovereign shepherd who offers to lead us. And the question is, will we be led? There is a sovereign shepherd who offers to care for us and provide for us and take care of us and nourish us. And then the question is put on us, will we be led by this shepherd? Because if we will be led by the shepherd, he will lead us to pasture. He will lead us to a healthy soul. He will lead us to rest in him, to find pasture and comfort in who he is, just like we just sang. It is who I am. Now, that doesn't mean we don't go through valleys. It doesn't mean that we don't go through stuff, right? But the Good Shepherd promises to lead, restore, guide, and provide for us in the valleys of life. So will we be led. And we've come down to the last two verses of Psalm 23 today, verses 5 and 6. We'll end up the series today. So let's jump into verse 5. There's kind of a shift that takes place in verse 5 in the psalm. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I did hear a few while we were reading the verse say, you anoint my head with oil. That's a southern term, isn't it? You anoint my head with oil. You anoint my head with oil. There's this shift that takes place. The image shifts from a shepherd who is taking care of his sheep to kind of this host. The shift is from the image of a sheep being led by a shepherd to this fugitive who is being taken care of by this host. Now, let me kind of explain the context here. In the ancient desert culture in which David would have written this psalm, it was very common for criminals to flee to the desert to hide. So if someone committed a crime against someone, and again, they lived in a culture of revenge, and so if I killed someone, there's a likelihood I'll be hunted down and killed. And so in that culture of kind of blood for blood, revenge, life for life, it was very common if someone committed a crime, particularly a crime where they took someone's life, murder, that they would flee to the desert and try to run and hide in the desert. Oftentimes in that culture of revenge, if they could not find the person that committed the crime, they would go after their family. And so there was this kind of this mindset, and if a person committed a crime, we even see it in the story of Moses. If a person committed a crime, they would run to the desert. And so within that desert, ancient desert culture, there was this custom of what was called open hospitality. And what that meant is every wanderer in the desert was welcomed into the tents of the shepherds. That no matter what I had done, no matter what my crime was, that I could find a momentary place of refuge in the tent of the shepherd. That my life was not being threatened, that there was safety, there was food. The shepherds would furnish food and safety for these wanderers. There would be a moment of refuge in their life. Anyone ever remember the movie Lone Survivor? It was the story of the Navy SEAL. It was a group of Navy SEALs that were sent during the Iraqi war into a certain place to scout it out. And To make an extremely long story short, this one particular Navy SEAL, Marcus Luttrell, who was played by Mark Wahlberg in the movie. Every time I say Mark Wahlberg, I can only think in my mind Marky Mark. But that's like all of you that are like 80s people. The Marky Mark in the movie plays Mark Luttrell, and all of his squad, his whole group of Navy SEALs are killed. They're slaughtered. And there's one guy that survives. It's a true story. It's based on a book that became the movie. And if you know anything about the storyline of the movie, the book, the real life incident, Mark Wahlberg or Mark Luttrell in real life, he finds refuge in one of the homes of the enemy, because there's this kind of tribal code in that culture called Pashtunwali. Pashtunwali means that among certain groups in those regions, that strangers can find refuge in their homes. No matter if you're my enemy or not, that if I come across your path and there's not an intention for me to kill you and you to kill me, that you can find a place of refuge. If you read the story and even watch the movie, in that region, in that culture, they actually protect that soldier from their own people and their own beliefs and their own region. It's kind of the same deal that was going on in the ancient desert culture, that these fugitives could find a place. And so, again, this is written from the point of view of the sheep, and in this case, the fugitive. And the fugitive says in verse 5, the host prepares a place for me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. In the shepherd's tent, there is safety. There is refuge. And he uses the phrase here, in the presence of the enemy, that there is a table. It's not just a, hey, here's an MRE, and I'll be on your way. It's a table. It's the idea of a banquet, a feast. It's almost like setting up a banquet table in the midst of whatever region you want to pick that's considered an enemy, right? Like, so I'm going to go to Afghanistan, and I'm going to set up a host table in the middle of the war zone, and there's going to be peace. Like, that's the image that's portrayed here, that in the midst of the difficulty and the chaos, that in the shepherd's tent, there's safety. There's protection. And so in the first half of the psalm, there's this focus on the guidance of the shepherd. And now in the second half of the psalm, there's this focus on the grace of the shepherd, the safety, the refuge of the shepherd. Kind of the way this applies to the sheep of that day is the shepherds would go ahead of the sheep into the fields where they were taking them to eat in the pastures, and they would go to prepare the fields for them. So they would remove poisonous weeds, they would chase away any predators, they would find venomous snakes and remove them. And so the image is the shepherd prepares the place for the sheep, and the idea of the fugitive is that he provides refuge for the fugitive. So again, in that culture, the custom was if a fugitive found his way to my tent, for a moment he was provided safety, food, refuge, and then it was also very customary to anoint people with oil, with a specialized oil, watch this, that gives the fragrance of the host. And so each host would have a fragrance they would anoint their guests with that symbolized honor and respect and value, and that fragrance symbolized that person was in the care of a certain host. You anoint my head with oil. You know, Paul picks up on this in the New Testament when he says, we are the aroma of God. That God has poured out his grace and goodness and mercy upon us, that we are instruments who bear the aroma of God. You anoint my head with oil. For the sheep, the oil was very important because the oil, in the context of the sheep, the shepherd, it represented healing. Now, the oil would be applied to the wounds of the sheep. It represented soothing that would help relieve the pain of the sheep. It represented cleansing. And so as they live life, sheep, close to the ground, and there were flies and they would cut themselves or perhaps be bitten by a snake or other things that would attack them, the shepherd would pull out his vial of oil, and he would provide healing and soothing and nutrients to the sheep and cleansing to the sheep. But David the shepherd also says, my head is anointed with oil, my cup overflows. The overflowing cup represents the abundant blessing, that my cup overflows. It gives me the gracious provision of the host. So get the image. Like the fugitive doesn't deserve a place of refuge. He's committed a crime. He's on the run. He's fleeing. He's made horrible life decisions. And yet the host says, I'm going to provide you a momentary, temporary place of refuge. You will wear the aroma of who I am to celebrate the goodness and kindness. And by the way, you're not going to go hungry in the shepherd's tent because your cup will overflow. Reminds me of eating at Mamaw's house back in the day. You know what I'm talking about? Like you eat at Mamaw's house and like you're done. But you're not done according to Mamaw. Mamaw's bringing more dishes. Mamaw's bringing more food and refilling the plate. Mamaw, I can't eat another bite. As she dips another spoonful of mashed taters. See what I did there? Taters on the plate. You know, are you tracking me? You're eating at Mamaw's house and that's what happens? My cup overflows. It's not just that God provides what we need. It is that he provides above and beyond what we need. Can I just stand as a person today that says, my cup overflows with goodness from God? My cup overflows with grace from God. My cup overflows with the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God. I think that all of us who have been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ can understand this concept that no matter what's going on in life, that the goodness of God has been poured out upon me in a way that my cup overflows. I like what Haddon Robinson says in this verse. He says, with the Father, the calf is always the fatted calf. The robe is always the best robe. The joy is always unspeakable joy. The peace always passes understanding. That God gives us above and beyond. That to the prodigal, it was not just the calf, it was the best calf. It wasn't just the ring, it was the best ring. It wasn't just the robe, it was the best robe. It's not just a peace of heart, it's a peace that passes all understanding. My cup overflows with the goodness and grace and mercy of God. Now, here's the most important part in my mind to this verse. Everything I've been talking about takes place in the presence of the enemy. In the presence of the enemy. In the middle of the conflict, in the middle of the crazy, in the middle of the chaos, I am not removed from the presence of the enemy. I am in the presence of the enemy. I'm not taken out of the presence of the enemy, but I am provided for in the midst of the enemy. In the presence of the enemy, I am treated with value by the host. Anyone here today in the middle of the conflict, in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the crazy? Now, let's be honest. The chaos and the crazy and the conflict can be external. It can be on the outside. It could be what's going on at home or at school or on the job or someone else is bringing chaos into my life. Or it can be on the inside. You know what I'm talking about? I've brought this on myself. I'm battling with this. I'm dealing with this. I've committed this sin. The darkness lurks in my own heart. The chaos and the conflict can be both external and internal. It can be on the outside like the sheep whose predators are pursuing them, or it can be on the inside like the fugitive who is running from his own sin. But no matter, the enemy, whether it's self-created or whether it's initiated from the outside enemy, either way, abundant provision is offered in the presence of the enemy. In the presence of the enemy. Picture it. I am sitting with my shepherd king at the table while the enemy surrounds me. Don't miss that picture. In the presence of the enemy, God has prepared a banquet, a feast of grace and mercy to the point that my cup overflows, to the point that he has anointed me with his aroma. And all of this takes place as the enemy lurks, as the enemy waits, as the enemy is around me, as he prowls and seeks to devour me. Don't miss, last week I mentioned this, I'll mention it again. The enemy has one goal, to seek and destroy you. To devour you, to kill you. Yes, to maim. Yes, to hurt. But eventually, to destroy. To kill, to maim. To destroy your relationships. To kill your walk with Jesus. To kill your marriage. To kill your relationship with your kids. To destroy your bank account. To destroy your happiness and your peace and your contentment in Christ. The enemy has one goal. To devour. And he is always on the prowl. And he is surrounding us as we sit in the presence of the Shepherd King. He is there. He is waiting. He is ready to pounce as we sit in the presence of the King. We said it in the verse last week this way. Remember David said, even though I walk through the valley. What does that imply? I'm walking through some valleys. I'm going through some stuff. I don't get to bypass the stuff. I don't get to bypass the valleys. I don't get to sidestep trouble. I'm going to be going through some valleys. But even though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil because you are with me. I am sitting in the presence of the Shepherd King. No matter what the enemy does around me, no matter what's happening outside of me or inside of me, the Shepherd King provides what I need and more. My cup overflows. Whatever self-initiated or externally imposed conflict I'm facing, I am sitting in the presence of the King. Now, this is so important. This happens, don't miss this, this happens in the presence of the enemy not to show how awesome the sheep are. Not about you. I am sitting in the presence of the enemy, in the presence of the Shepherd King, to show how awesome the Shepherd is, to show how gracious and good the Shepherd is. The enemy has no power in the presence of the King. The enemy has no power while sitting at the table in the presence of the Shepherd King. You know what happens? I get up out of my chair. I leave the presence of the King. I got this. I'll take care of it. You know where the enemy devours? The enemy devours when I remove myself from the presence of the Shepherd King. Because it's not about the sheep. The sheep can't destroy the wolf. The sheep is destroyed by the wolf. But the shepherd has control over the wolf, over the enemy, over those outside, the enemy that is prowling. And as when I am sitting in the presence of the King is in absolute control. He has the authority over any enemy, over any predator that may come my way. That's why I sit in the presence of the King. It's never about the sheep. It is always about the shepherd. Listen to me. No matter what's happening in your life right now, no matter what conflict or crazy you're facing, He prepares a table for you. Fugitives are welcomed at the Shepherd's table. Fugitives, sinners, wanderers are welcomed at the Shepherd's table. City Church, we should be a place where wanderers, where sinners, where broken people, where people who have drifted from faith, we should be a place where fugitives are welcomed, where they come and hear the gospel and hear the love of Jesus and hear about a shepherd who invites them to his table, who has an offer on the table. I will lead and guide and protect and nurture you. You will find rest and pasture for your soul in me. Come to me, those who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I also need to mention a word of caution here. Don't give the enemy a seat at the table. Don't give the enemy a seat at the table. I'm sitting at the table with the host, the Shepherd King, but I can't let the enemy pull a chair up, because he will. He'll pull a chair up on you. He'll try to find a place at the table. He will whisper in your ear, you're not going to make it. You can't beat this. You can't change. Give up on it already. Just this once. Like, you can't give space for the enemy to sit at the table. Because everything that he will say to you in dinner conversation is a lie. Everything he will whisper to you is for one agenda: to seek, destroy, and kill you. Everything the enemy will do when we give him a place at the table is meant to destroy you. You can't allow the enemy a place at the table. You choose who sits at the table. You get that? You choose who sits there. You choose to sit in the presence of the Shepherd King, or you choose to get up out of your chair and walk away where the enemy lurks. We sit in the presence of our King. My Shepherd King provides everything I need at the table and more. Rest in him. Focus on him. Live in his presence. You're not strong enough to defeat the enemy on your own, but you sit in the presence of a King that's already defeated him. Sit in his presence. Stay in his presence. Live in his presence. Rest in who he is. You're not strong enough on your own to beat it. You're not strong enough on your own to win the battle over it. You're not strong enough on your own to come back. But there is a Savior who died. There is a King who has provided for you, has done everything necessary. Rest in his presence. The work is accomplished. Rest in it. All right, let's do verse 6. Shirley? Shirley, are we ready for Shirley yet? I love that part. Shirley, goodness and mercy. Don't call me Shirley, all you 80s fans. Airplane reference there. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David brings us back at the end of the psalm to remind us the shepherd will not abandon us. He's not walking out on you. He does not leave us forsaken. He does not leave us stranded in the desert. He does not leave us forsaken on the journey. He pursues us. He pursues us with goodness. He pursues us with loving kindness, with love. This word is translated a couple different ways: mercy, loving kindness, love. He pursues me with goodness and love. He is with me all the days of my life, even into eternity. So here's the picture. As I live life in the valley, as I live as a sheep, as I live as a fugitive, his goodness and mercy will hunt you down. They're coming after you. His goodness and mercy will pursue you. That's good news for people who are wounded. That's good news for people who are wandering off the path of righteousness. That's good news for people who are weary in the journey. That's good news for people who are wasted. That's good news for you and me, fugitives, that there are these hounds of heaven who will relentlessly pursue us all the days of our life. He's not giving up on you. He's not leaving you forsaken. He's not leaving you abandoned. No matter how far you run, no matter how far you're off the beaten path of righteousness, he's coming after you to pursue you with his goodness, to pursue you with his righteousness. Listen, it's not always comfortable. We talked about it last week. His rod and staff are not always comfortable. Sometimes he has to correct me, get me back on the path. Sometimes he has to expose me to get me back on the path. And that's okay, because in the exposure is where his goodness is. In the exposure is where his grace is, because the shepherd loves me enough to say, I'm going to expose this so that you can walk with me. I'm going to expose this because you're going to fall off the path again. I'm going to expose this because there's an enemy who wants to kill you and maim you and destroy you. And as a good shepherd, my goodness and mercy are going to pursue you to get you back on the path of righteousness. Not always comfortable, is it? Embarrassing at times, isn't it? Humiliating process to have to go through. But in the end, it is the goodness of the shepherd that brings us back, because his goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He's not giving up on you. You know why? Because the shepherd's good. And he pursues me for his glory and for my good. May not feel good in the moment, but he pursues me for his glory and for my good. And we bring it all the way back to John 10, where Jesus picks up on this and he says, I'm the good shepherd. And here's the Devon breakdown of John 10 when it comes to this. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I call my sheep by name. He knows you. He personally calls you by name. I'm the good shepherd. I lead them. That's what Jesus says in John 10. I guide them. Jesus says, I go before them. He walks the path before me. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. They follow me. Jesus says in John 10, the sheep do not follow a stranger. They don't follow an enemy. You know what we do as sheep? We run from the enemy. We don't follow the enemy. We don't recognize his voice. That's not who I'm created to be. That's not where my identity is. I'm not that person. I am not that sin. I am not that thing that defined me. I'm going to run from the stranger. I'm going to run from the enemy. I'm going to live in the care of the shepherd because that's who I am. I'm a follower of Jesus. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me because it's the voice of the shepherd that we know. It's the voice of the shepherd that we follow. It is the voice of compassion and forgiveness and love and mercy that we follow. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. They know me. And by the way, Jesus says, I lay down my life for you, for sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. And that's not the end of the story, Jesus says. I take it back up again, like death doesn't win. I lay down my life, and I take it up again. And here's how it translates to you and I as sheep. And I give them eternal life. And they, catch this, will never perish. They will never perish. No one is able to snatch them, Jesus says, from the care of the Father. No one is able to take them from the Father's hand. You know why? Because they're my sheep, Jesus says. They're my sheep. And as the psalmist says in 23, he will follow me all the days of my life. Jesus says, I will give my sheep eternal life. No one can take them out of my care, out of my hand. You are safe in the care and provision of the shepherd. So here's my encouragement to you today. Look beside you, because the shepherd says, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Look before you, because he leads me beside still waters in the path of righteousness. Look behind you, because goodness and mercy are on your heels. They're pursuing you with a relentless pursuit to hunt you down, to keep you on the path of righteousness, and it's good, and it's grace, and it's mercy that does that. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Look beside you, look before you, look behind you, and follower of Jesus, look beyond you, because the psalmist says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that we are safe in the Father's care, and guess what? He's bringing us back to the fold. He is bringing us into our eternal home to live with him through eternity, where there is no enemy, where there is no wandering off the path, because he is a good shepherd that will bring us home. There's a good shepherd today who offers to lead us through the valleys of life, to keep us safe and nourished and on the right path. There's a good shepherd who promises to protect us, to guide us, to restore us, to comfort us, to anoint us with overflowing blessing, to pursue us with goodness and love, to follow us into his eternal rest. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know why? Because he is everything I need and more. The question for us is, will we be led? Will we be led?